she died.
Perfect, thank you.
So there was going to be a deportation. This was all hearsay, but we knew it was coming. And people were in panic to try and save themselves, because the deportation, it wasn't to a labor camp or any sort of mixed camp. It was to a death camp. There were places like Treblinka, Majdanek, Sobibor. These were all death camps.
And you knew this at the time?
We knew that, yes.
Okay.
I mean, I personally may not have known it, but all the adults knew it.
Yeah.
And they were really in a panic. So they tried to find some way of saving themselves. And one of the ways was that, you know, some Christians were taking people in, and they were sort of living there in hiding.
Yeah.
And that was for money. Sometimes it could be good friends. But there weren't too many of those. And another way is if they got out of the ghetto, they could hide outside in the sewers.
Yeah.
In the forests, and you know, but obviously not a few thousands of people are not going, weren't going to be hidden by people. And my father and my uncle Joseph Klein, my mother's brother, were introduced to a man. I used to say his name, but I don't anymore. I don't want to say, because I came across people with that name, and so they were introduced to a man who was willing to hide two Jewish girls. For the duration of the for the deportations.
Sure.
And the thing is, I mean, I didn't think anything then, but I'm thinking now that how could they be sure that first of all the parents would survive as well to claim them? How did they know, you know, what would happen afterwards? So everything was an uncertainty. But they presumably were hopeful that the parents will survive, they'll collect them. And this man who was recommended, he came into the ghetto, he was smuggled in, to discuss the arrangements and to be paid in advance. And I don't know how much they paid, but they paid him, and all the conditions they discussed, and it ended up that he collected the money, and he said he'll come the following week to pick me up, and the week after my cousin, Icha. But my aunt was quite desperate for my Ija to go first. She was an only child. But he said, no, he wants it this way round. And it happened. He came back for me, then he came back for her. And it was very unsafe to travel on the trains or anywhere, because they were always checking people's identities.
Yeah.
And we were traveling on false papers. And were very scared. And they were actually on the lookout for Jews to turn in, because there was a reward for turning in Jews.
Okay.
So we were very scared. And you know, however much you try and hide it, if you're scared, it shows in your eyes. You can't change that. And neither of us looked Jewish. We were fair-skinned, fair-haired, and blue eyes. And it all happened. He came back for me, then he came back for my cousin.
Sure.
And there we were. We were feeling very vulnerable and very sort of unsafe, and we missed our parents. And Ija was so she was so homesick, she couldn't bear it, and she didn't want to stay. And you know, when there were visitors, sometimes it was okay for us to meet them. Other times they would hide us quickly into the cupboard, under the bed, anywhere out of sight. So our lives were very sort of precarious and unusual, and we were among strangers. We weren't with family.
No.
And Ija couldn't bear it, so she asked to go back. And they said she can't go back because the deportations are still going on. And she said that her parents had very good friends in Tyochkov. She told them the name. And they are hiding her parents' valuables. And when she said that, he said, okay, I'll take you there. And I thought how lucky she was. And I was still there for a long time. But when the time came for me to go back, the deportations were finished. Arrangements were made so that I'd meet my father, where he was working in the flour mill, which before the war belonged to him, with partners, with his brother.
But was he just, he was working at the flour mill now? But
now he was lucky to have a job there. So, you know, if you come across anything that contradicts Ben,
sure,
let me know,
okay,
because there may be a reason, or you
of
know,
of course, yeah.
But anything, because you remember the story well, you've written it, so Ben's story. So, we were to meet my father in the attic of the mill, and when we got up there, there was my father and my uncle, Joseph Klein, Ija's father. And my uncle went white. He looked at us and he went white, and he said, where's my daughter? And the man said, I brought her back, I took her to your friends. He said, no, he mentioned the surname. And my uncle said, but she's not there. Where is she? These were very good friends, so they would have known if she was there. So he said, what have you done with my child? And I still remember vividly this, my uncle, with his hands behind his back, looking at the ground. He was pacing there and back, saying, what have you done with my child? And that's the end of the story.